Video best practices for Amazon. What makes for a good video? How much should I invest in it? My name is Stephen Pope, and this is the My Amazon Guy podcast. I'm now joined by Dave Taylor of AskDaveTaylor.com and his YouTube channel, which has 22,000 subscribers. He teaches graduate marketing classes at the University of Denver, and his website has been online for more than a decade, where he covers a wide range of technical Q&A and consumer electronics. So, Dave, you're an expert in this space, it sounds like.
Well, I've certainly been doing it long enough to pretend I'm an expert, so we'll go with that.
That works. So, for those that haven't seen one of your videos, can you briefly describe it for us? Like, what do you do?
Right. So, the sort of watchword of my videos is always show, don't tell, which can be pretty tricky with some devices. I really focus on the entire consumer electronics space. So from earbuds and headphones to hard drives to, what else have I looked at? Humidifiers, massage units, foot massage units. I reviewed a bunch of those and they're really nice. I just want to say that.
if it turns on, you've probably done a video on it, sounds like. So,
right.
So before we go into like best practices and how you make the videos and what you do for that, I think your backstory is rather interesting. How did you get into doing what you do?
So I've been in the technical space for a long darn time. I'm not even going to mention how long, but in terms of video, I've spoken at many, many conferences, and I was speaking at a conference in Chicago, and one of the people in the audience happened to be from Intel Corporation. And I think it was maybe just a week or two later, I got a call from her saying, we're launching a new website. Would you like to do some video tutorials? And I said, well, got to be candid. I don't have a lot of expertise in video, but if you're willing to let me learn on the project, I am absolutely willing to do it. And I got to say, you don't want to watch those first couple of videos.
And nobody does.
Yeah, the most famous of them internally was that we did one where it only had left channel audio because I couldn't figure out how to make it stereo. So we just posted it. And this is on like the million subscriber Intel channel. And then there were all these comments about what's wrong with the audio. And the response we'd have would be like, we don't know. We're trying to figure that out.
Well, it probably helped it go viral because of the backlash in the comment section. So that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got some views, but you know, you learn so much and like so many things, you know, you can read every book you want, but they're not going to teach you how to ski. You got to get on the slope. And in the same way, I've learned a ton about YouTube and about product videos by just making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those videos. And even now, there'll be the occasional one where I like when looking at it while I'm editing and it's just like, you know, I think I'm going to start over because I think I missed the gist of this product. I missed what makes this cool or interesting. So sometimes, you know, you get halfway through a video and you realize, this is just not playing right. I need to just do something different or start out differently. And that's all part of the creative process. You know, no creative person can just start and go all the way through and finish and never have a stall and never back up and never rethink things.
Well, and especially some of the, because you're specializing in tech, some of those things are quite technical, quite frankly, right? So when I was first starting this podcast not too long ago, I was trying to figure out how to install a Rode mic. And I had to rewatch a technical video similar to your channel 4, 5, 6 times in a row. And I'm like, I finally realized I didn't have all the parts and I had to go order more. It was really frustrating. So you alleviate some of that stress in some of your videos and explain how to use tech, sounds like.
Yeah, I really try to, you know, sort of maybe handhold a little bit. And I definitely don't have the philosophy that you're dumb because you don't already get this. There's a lot of technical people that just don't really understand what it's like to be untechnical or to not have expertise in a particular area. Audio gear is particularly a great example because there's impedance issues, there's gain issues, there's powered and unpowered and phantom powered microphones. And there's getting everything to couple up. I mean, I've gotten microphones for my camera that didn't work, and I still don't understand why.
And it's funny you mentioned the phantom power, because that was a new concept for me a couple months ago. and frustrating to solve, say the least.
Yeah. And the thing is that you don't need to invest huge amounts of money to get really good results. If, you know, you go and check out any of my videos on my Ask Dave Taylor channel on YouTube, I can tell you my microphone is a $25 wired lavalier mic.
That's nice. I went out and I started Googling all the famous YouTubers and asking and seeing what they use. And then I just copied it because I wanted to be like, I was like, all class. I want to have millions of subscribers. Now, obviously, we got a long way to go for that. We'll see what happens. All right, cool. So one more to go. I actually will hit 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel today. So you're 21,000 ahead of me. So, all right. Yeah. So let's talk best practices. And you've made a lot of videos and you've got a very specific niche, but there are many best practices that you do for your videos that would apply to how to best demonstrate a product on Amazon. And so let's dive into that. What do you think makes for a good video? Start with a generic question to set this up and kind of dive in for us.
Right. Well, the basics, I think, are still super important is good lighting and good audio. And, you know, having someone who is reasonably eloquent, or if they're not, then learn how to edit so you can make it, you know, zippy paste. Different people have different speeds of speaking and different styles of presentation. That's okay. But, you know, you still want to make it something sufficiently engaging that people aren't going to say, well, that was an exciting 17 seconds, I'm out.
Yeah, it's fun sometimes to watch the audience attention span as they're watching a video and where the marker is. But yeah, so attention spans these days are shorter and shorter. I think you've got the benefit of demoing a technical product that people are really like their eyes are glued right in there because they have to understand it and they're going to watch your video a couple times. But on Amazon with products, if your video doesn't demonstrate that you solve the consumer's problem in 15, 17 seconds, like you mentioned, they're out and they're leaving your product page and buying that competitor's product. So very important. So let's talk about some of the technical aspects. So you mentioned good lighting. Let's start briefly there. What makes for good lighting for product video?
So good lighting is where people can really see the product. So have the product be up close, have close-ups, you know, maybe cut to a photo that's a super duper close shot of a connector or a buckle or a corner of something so people can really understand, like with the headphones you're wearing, what does the ear cup look like? What, you know, what are the buttons on the side look like? Show me that really close, even if when I get the product, I'm never going to be able to see them that size because just naturally they're small. But, you know, really, again, you know, the watchword is show, don't tell. And even on Amazon, I've seen Amazon product videos where typically it's an attractive young woman and she's sitting on it, you know, in an office space sort of thing. And she's just chatting about the product and maybe she's holding it in her hand. And it's just like, I don't want to hear you talk about it. I want you to show me this button does this. And then if we turn it around and you look at the bottom, you can see, let me show you what this does. You know, and that's so important for getting people excited about a product, whether it's a wallet or a keychain, or an expensive speaker or a microphone.
So in my hand here, I have a Chirp wheel, and I had this just in case we needed to do the show and tell today. And so I use this product every day, and it's a pretty amazing product. It helps with back pain. I used to, you know, I get tons of massages, go to chiropractic, whatever. Nothing ever solved the back pain. And then I got a client that sells these, and I started rolling my back on them. And the way you use this product is almost intuitive. You get on the ground and then you just roll on it. And it's almost like doing yoga. And these things show really, really well inside of videos without a doubt in my mind. And so they've shot so much video content. It's made a huge difference on their conversion rates, and it's been really good for them. So I like the show don't tell. I think that's a really good tip. And sometimes that requires the close-up shots. And so if you're looking for, you know, a low cost effort and just, you know, my default marketing philosophy is something is better than nothing. And let's say you don't have a big production crew and you can't make something happen, but you're going to shoot something on your cell phone. So my tip on this, and I'll let you weigh in on it, would be get a stabilizing shot where you can see the product and the person talking. move in closer with that cell phone and at least get the product in front so you can get a nice close up and show and don't tell, just like you mentioned, and then finally end on the wide shot. So you're starting wide, going in, ending on wide. That's like the most basic tutorial I can say would at least show up to the video content. Obviously, there's a lot more you could do than that, though, right?
Yeah, but I think that that's a great start, you know, and I'm going to circle back just a tiny bit because we were talking about lighting. So I just want to say is, you know, spend a little time studying what other people do on their videos, whether it's on Amazon or YouTube or whatever. And, you know, multiple points of light, multiple light sources, light higher up coming down on you. All of that is very flattering, both to the person on camera and to a product. You know, don't have one super bright light just giving you, you know, washed out whites or something. That's generally never going to look good. And then declutter your background. If you're seeing the video of our conversation, you can see I have nothing in my background. I actually, because I'm doing so much video now of, you know, video conversations and stuff, I actually took some paintings down off my wall so that it's just a uniform beige. And because I don't want distractions. And so it's the same if you're doing a video, even with your smartphone. And honestly, I get amazing photos and videos off my iPhone 11 Pro. It's a really nice camera setup. You know, put that on a tiny tripod, you can really do good stuff. But if you're shooting in an office, if you're shooting in your kitchen, whatever it is, take the time to declutter everything. And then with that in mind, watch how the pros do it. So you go and watch something like the Food Network. If they're showing you someone in a kitchen or the Cooking Channel, right? Those kitchens are designed to be on camera and they're clean and neat. And you always look at it and say, dang, I wish my kitchen looked like that. Make it look like that for your video. So I mean, it's not a huge thing.
I'm cleaning up my desk as you say this, removing the distractions. Great tip. Not one I would have thought of, to be honest. So that's a good tip. So what kind of, let's talk through the shots then. So you mentioned get some nice, good close-up shots. Run me through some just high-level types of video shots you can take.
Okay, so the most recent review, the one that's coming up today on my YouTube channel, is for this Samsung SSD drive. And what I did for that was I did a combination of me on camera holding it and talking about it, and then cutting to screen captures where it's like video of the screen showing various tasks being done. Because if I say it's a really fast hard drive, that's one thing. But when you watch me copy a 50 gigabyte file in like 15 seconds, then you will say, wow, that is fast, right? So I then also show some speed tests because people like specs and like testing stuff. So I just keep switching to different things that are of information and then finally end up with me back on camera saying, here's how much it costs. Here's why I think that that's actually a reasonable price. And I'm really excited to have one. The end.
And that's a good point. So you were talking about the features, why it's important, and then you end it, right? And so on Amazon, I think that same principle comes across. So I think a video for Amazon should be somewhere between 60 and 90 seconds to be on that product detail page. What's your take on video length? And if you think it should be longer, why?
Oh, well, here we go. Now we're going to start having some contention. But I'm not going to actually disagree with you because I think that a video on Amazon is a different purpose, right? So I do review videos. So people don't just want to know about the product. They want to know my opinion of the product. At least I delude myself that's the case. But if I'm on Amazon, I don't want to see a review necessarily. I want to see very specifically a quick product walkthrough. I don't have much attention and I just did a search for something and I found 6,000 results when I was hoping there'd be two, right? So I'm giving you a couple of seconds of my time to watch this video to decide if this is the right product for the problem I'm facing. And so that needs to immediately jump in. There's no introducing the speaker. I don't care who you are. Show me the darn product and show me what the product does and be done. Quick, easy. You know, give me maybe a 360 view. If it's for a car, show it to me in a car, things like that.
And banana for scale is why I like the human element personally.
Right, but I have a really small banana, so it's very confusing. I have a really big banana.
There you go. Depends if it's the most common banana variety type, right? which I forget the name of it. So yeah, there are some items that are big, and when the consumer gets them, they're like, whoa, I didn't realize it was so big. Or there's some items that are small, and they're like, whoa, I didn't realize it was so small, right? Yeah. So that banana for scale can come in pretty handy. Okay, cool. So we talked about lighting. We talked about the type of shots. We teased on the length and the subject matter. Maybe talk a little bit more about the show and tell. Like, how do you do that effectively?
Yeah, that's when you really need to sort of think through what are the common problems people have that they're trying to solve with my product. And then once you sort of come at it from that direction, and of course, that's just sales 101. But once you come at it from that direction, then you can really understand what you need to highlight first. So for example, if I have a microphone for podcasters, I might start out with a shot just like where you are right now, where you have headphones, you have a microphone in front of you. And then the very first thing I'm going to say is something like, if you're a podcaster, it's really confusing to figure out the best gear. So here's how we
here's the problem, set it up.
Right. And then you're like, I'm in, you know, tell me more.
Yeah, I could have used a few of those videos.
You know, and
it's a work in progress. So
yeah. And the challenge is a lot of companies get so excited about their specs that they forget that customers don't understand any of that. They don't, you know,
not a
like,
clue.
Oh, it's 80 ohm instead of 30 ohm. And you're like, I have no idea.
I have no idea what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone bit me on the ankle, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. If, whether it was Phantom Power or whatever tech spec you mentioned, I wouldn't have a clue. So that brings up a good question. So for the product demonstration, I noticed a small critique on your part on who should be the one doing the show and tell. So should you put in the geeky tech expert? I'm not calling you geeky and techie, by the way, because I think you got communication skills. Or
you mean man.
Yeah. Or should you put on the person who shows well, right? Who doesn't have the radio face, shall we say?
You know, I think it might vary by product and it might vary by company. There's something about if you have like an engineer who's talking about a product, there's a certain implied confidence or an expertise level. So if it's a technical product, having someone who looks technically savvy can be beneficial in terms of building trust for that video. But generally speaking, there's a lot of data to show that people would rather see someone attractive than someone not attractive. You know, is that going to affect your 45-second product video? Maybe not, because maybe they're not in the product video at all. But like with that back roller you showed, if they're going to do a video demonstrating it in use, I'd probably rather see an attractive young person than I would see some ugly, overweight person.
And quite frankly, the target demographic might be older, but you still show the aspirational use of the product, right?
Yep. Unless it gets weird where it's like, you know, some AARP hearing aid that some young 23-year-old is demonstrating. You're like, what?
Yeah, that's a throwback. I think about that guy that does the diabetes commercials when you say that. So.
Yeah, well, then you get into like funeral commercials. You know, I'm selling caskets, but luckily I ain't in one.
Yeah, and make sure that smiling face is on 24/7. Jeez. All right. So that's good. That's good. So you teach classes on this. Tell me a little bit about that.
Right. So my classes are more, well, I teach through a variety of channels. The ones I teach at the University of Denver are really sort of digital marketing overall. And we look at the whole range of, you know, everything from email marketing to Snapchat to digital assets that you'd need for a good PPC campaign, all the jargon, right?
Do you think videos and ads or videos for product demonstration has changed a lot in the last couple of years for marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it continues to be the case and will be more and more the case over time that video is compelling and is really one of your very best channels to sell a product or service, because people like watching other people. People like seeing stuff happen. So it's one thing to say, here's a before photo and here's an after photo, and it's something else to show me that journey.
And when I was debating whether to launch a podcast myself, I came across an article that talked about how much content was out there in the world. And for every, and I'm going to butcher the stats, so I'm just going to say this is made up, can't remember it for sure, but for every like piece of blog content. It was like a 7-to-1 ratio in the world or something like that. With videos, it was like 700-to-1 or something like that. And then for podcasts, it was like 7,000-to-1. So videos have a better chance of getting exposure as compared to, say, regular text, because there's less competition. And so that's just kind of one thought I have on why you'd want to see a video versus some text or a before and after picture, like you mentioned. Any new ad techniques that you've seen for videos that you can think of?
Well, we're seeing some dabbling by companies in videos where you can make decisions partway through and that affects the outcome of the video. Right?
Interesting.
This is obviously, yeah, this is really fun for things like a choose your own adventure style.
Which I saw on Netflix. Yeah, I was just about to bring that up.
The Bandersnatch they did, and it was super interesting. But even for them, it really taxed their technology. And most of the people that could watch Netflix couldn't actually watch that and interact with that because it needed more modern software than your TV or DVD player or set-top box had. But I think that kind of stuff we're going to see, where imagine a product video on Amazon where it's like, are you, you know, here's our product, but are you like a race car driver or are you a suburban mom or what? You know, click and tell me.
And then personalize decide. How the
right.
product could
and
be
then
used
it's
for
like,
them.
Well, fellow race car driver, let's go and jump in a race car and let me show you how this works.
So personalized video content, love that. And then on Amazon, they've just recently come out with mobile video advertising, and it's going to roll out to desktop here very soon. Those videos are more like TV commercials. We're talking like 15-second, 30-second clips. And it's not really rolled out terribly too much yet. Not a lot of sellers are taking advantage of it. But I've seen all kinds of videos for that. I've seen just music and no voiceover, and it's just like, hey, here's an air purifier with some smoke and watch how cool it is. And I've seen like straight on TV commercials where they demo the product. So that's also what I've seen change is Amazon's adopting video a lot more. 2 years ago, they brought videos into the photo slot for Seller Central sellers. And it used to be unique to just vendors who had that ability or access. So a lot of things coming down the pipeline. So I think video is going to get more important to Amazon over time. All right, so if I'm a seller right now and I want to get started and start doing my videos, Dave has a service that you offer to help shoot a product demonstration, which could be used on Amazon or YouTube or otherwise. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Right, so the idea would be to actually produce two videos simultaneously, where we have a sort of longer version that might have an intro and outro and introduction and, you know, closing portion. And that would be something for a YouTube channel. And then you have just the boiled down essence, the shortest possible video that gets across the gist of your product. And that would be something for Amazon. And, you know, I'm a big fan of testing and trying different things out and really brainstorming and trying to come up with something creative. So you think about the Will It Blend series, right? You remember those?
Classic.
A couple of years ago? Right. That company had a blender, right? A blender, yawn. That's not very exciting. They've been around for what, 70 years? But all of a sudden they were like, let's just show in a really crazy way how incredibly powerful this product is. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was over at Zappos headquarters in Las Vegas, and they actually had, just for like, you know, employee stress relief, they had one of those blenders set up and just a pile of random stuff. And they were like throwing circuit boards in and blending them and stuff, just crazy things. And I just thought, what an incredibly effective campaign that was to really show you, not tell you this is the world's most powerful blender, but show you that there's nothing this thing can't blend. So it's definitely going to work great with the foods that you prepare. So I think that is really sort of where I'd be coming from. And a lot of the time I spend with a company is going back and forth with ideas and really trying to understand what's the best way for us to showcase your product or service in a really, really tight, short video for Amazon and in something a little longer for your other marketing channels.
So I like that. And so we're going to be adding a page to the myamazonguy.com website where we're going to offer Dave's video service and partner up with him. That'll be coming in a couple weeks, I suspect. In the meantime, if you guys want to hire Dave and you want to work with us to get some Amazon videos shot, Dave, what's the best way to reach out to you? And you'll give them the My Amazon Guy rate if they mention us. So what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Definitely just go to askdavetaylor.com and hit the contact form. That's going to be your easiest bet. Or if you want to actually go and watch some of my videos, and I often have like cats appear in my videos.
Nice.
That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
So you can just check me out, go to YouTube and one word, type in Ask Dave Taylor in the search box and you'll find my channel.
Well, perfect. Dave, it was really great talking with you today. And I think you gave us a lot of good things to think about for video. I know that my video production is a little rough over the edges and I'm trying to get better at it myself. So you've already given me some tips to think about too.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the My Amazon Guy podcast. And thanks, Dave, for joining us. We hope that you'll tell three other people about our podcast and that way we can grow the account. Subscribe and like to it as well. We're found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We post it to our YouTube channel and you can find all the podcasts at podcast.myamazonguy.com. Thanks for listening in today. We appreciate it.